All right. Good morning and welcome to Calvary Chapel. Great to have you guys here. Yeah. Glad you're here. Praise the Lord. What a great morning it is. And what a great day yesterday was, Friday and Saturday, for the women, the women's conference. That was a great conference. And I know because I snuck in the back to spy a little bit. And I still, every time I see the women, you guys do it right. I mean, all the colors and all the things, it was just decked out right or whatever. And so we have the men's conference coming up soon, and no doubt we'll probably have you maybe a little bottle of water and a candy bar or something, but it's going to be great. And not like the women do it, but you'll be happy. Trust me. I know how guys think. So that'll be good. And also, one other quick thing before we get into the word. You guys remember Milad and Teresa Gerges, they were here for like 6 years doing the Arabic church here at Calvary Chapel in our building on Saturdays. Maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't. They have their own building now and they're doing ministry. But Teresa, God has opened up a door for her to go back to Egypt and be able to minister to some of the poor there and some of the friends she has and just the poor in Egypt. And they need some supplies as they're traveling back. So if you would like to give some basic supplies, call the church next week. We will give you a list of the basic supplies they need. And you can drop those by the church. We'll get them in her hands and they're going to fill up, I think, a suitcase or two and take over some basic supplies just for the people there of Egypt and the friends they have that need help in that area. So praise the Lord. Great. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Matthew chapter 6. As we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 34 today, looking at eternal investment strategies. I want to read the first few verses and then we'll pray. Notice here in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, the Lord said, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you've shown us an eternal investment strategy. You've shown us, God, where our focus needs to be, where our eyes need to be, where our heart needs to be. And Lord, that is on the things of the kingdom. And so I pray now that as we get into this portion of your teaching here, as you were teaching your disciples there on that hillside, Lord, teach us. Lord, our ears are open. Our hearts are ready to receive. And it's the same today, yesterday, and forever, God. You're the same. Your word is the same. And the principles are the same. We want to learn from you. So Lord, teach us. We are ready to receive and do so by the power of your Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, interesting title as we look at eternal investment strategies. Again, remember where we are, the setting. We're right in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has gone up on a hillside. His disciples have gone up with him, and he's teaching them on a multitude of subjects. He goes from subject to subject to subject, dealing with different things, and they're all so deep and so intricate, and again, could use an eternity of study to fully get everything out of them, but the Lord probably delivered this anywhere between 12, 15, 20 minutes in one setting, if you will. So again, this was something where whatever they received, but God, by his Holy Spirit, had it recorded and written down through the disciples, and now we get to hear it, and we get to study it, and that was the intent, that they would take God's word, let it marinate, look at it, learn as they grow, and apply it to their lives. And we're going to see great truths. We're going to see great principles that apply in life. And again, the two main things today are going to be eternal investment as well as not to worry. So these would be the two main subjects, our investments and our worry. And aren't both of those very applicable for today? Again, where we invest is going to determine our reward forever. And is this not a society of worry today? Do we not have a lot of things we could be worried about? I had someone come up to me for prayer about being worried and fearful, you know, and just being honest about their heart. And the reality is all of us go through different times of fear and worry, but the Lord doesn't want us living in fear and worry. He wants us to rest. He wants us to trust him. And he's going to even use nature and the birds, as we see as we get into this, to show how we're just relaxed and trust the Lord that he's going to take care of us. And I want you to know this as well. Even if things get really, really weird in the days in which we live, and I know that crosses our minds, you know, Lord, what are the days ahead that come for the church and for our nation and for this world? We who know prophecy and know the future, we know where it's headed. And so we can begin to think maybe too much about it. Sometimes worry and fear can come in. But I know this, God will provide what we need when we get there. He has done that for every generation of the church. Every single generation of the church that's ever gone through a difficult time in world history, they not only have endured it, they have overcome it, and they've been singing through the midst of it. And you can go back and find that in church history. So what that tells me is when the enemy comes in like a flood, God comes in with great measure and overwhelms it. He raises up a standard. And so I don't want you to worry. I want you to know that God is going to give us everything we need. God is going to fill us with joy. He's going to use us as a witness and a testimony for the days in which we live. And he wants us to live worry-free lives. And he wants us to live, also make wise investments while we're here on the earth. You know, it's interesting. When you think about an investment strategy, some of you may have an investment strategy. If you're going to have that, you want to be wise in your investment strategy and putting your money somewhere you know that there's going to be a great return. I remember somebody gave me that counsel when I first got saved. And so I started putting away money. And for me, it was a lot of money. Maybe for some of you, if I told you the amount, you wouldn't think it was that much. But I put away what I could for a while, and then I invested it in what I thought was the smartest investment possible. I thought, hey, I understand that if you put it in Swiss bank accounts, somehow that's good. You know, I was young and I'd never done investing. So I tried to find some Swiss thing I could invest in. Well, the bottom line is I should have invested it in chocolate and just enjoyed myself because I lost almost every bit of it. I got not only got no return, I almost got nothing back from it. I survived a little bit of the midst of it, but God taught me a big lesson in that. It's not simply by, you know, reputation, whether something's a good investment or not. You have to have experience and know that what you invest in is going to bring a great return. Well, listen to me. If you invest in the kingdom of God, you will not only have a great return, you will have an eternal return. And I want you guys to recognize this as well before we even get into this, because this is something God was burning in my heart this week. And by the way, this is not just about finances. That is certainly a part of it. I'd be lying if I didn't say that. This has to do with our overall in our life investing, whether it be what we put our time into, our service into, our thoughts into. Every bit of it needs to be a wise investment for the kingdom. But grasp this. Again, when you invest in the kingdom, you're going to get eternal reward that is always going to increase. You'll never lose, depending on what the market does, goes up or goes down. You've got it forever. It is eternal. It is not temporary. And so we need to be focused more on the eternal than the temporary is going to be God's focus today. But I also want you to grab this. And this is something that God, again, as I said, has been ministering to me. And that is, Mark, this is your only moment to do it. This is it. If you're going to invest in eternity, it is between your age now and when you die. That's it. Whatever that little space is, oh, that's it. It might be like that, who knows? The reality is, here's my point. Don't waste any more time. Don't waste any time. And this encompasses every area of investing in the kingdom. Please keep a well-rounded mindset here. But the bottom line is this, wherever you are right now, between the time you're alive and the time you die from this point on, that's your opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God. And you're not going to have any more opportunity beyond that. So that's the reward you're going to have. And I remember somebody telling me again when I first got saved, the reason I wanted to start investing right off the bat because I was already a little bit older when I got saved. And I realized a lot of years have gone by. And the key to good investments on the earth is a long time with compound interest, right? And it gets more and more and more as time goes on. And there's wisdom in earthly investing. Don't get me wrong. We're going to see a balance today. There has to be earthly investing as well as eternal investing because we live here for now. But our focus shouldn't be on the temporary. It should be on the eternal. And the sooner we invest, the greater the compound interest, if you will, the more time we have to invest and the greater reward that we have in the kingdom of God. And so the logical question is, which is better, to invest in the temporary or the eternal? Quite obviously, the eternal is the place that we want to be investing. As I said, this doesn't mean that we don't invest in the temporary as well. The Bible says you need to be wise to take care of your family and to provide for your family and to, you know, especially if you've got a number of daughters, you may want to have a little bit of money put aside for weddings down the road at times. There's things like that that come along in life. That's wisdom. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the wise man will leave an inheritance for his grandkids, but it doesn't mean that our goal is money, money, money. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to be laying up treasures on earth. It means that we lay up treasures in heaven. We follow God, and as God blesses us, then we make wise investments in both. And that comes from prayer and following God and looking to God to give us leading. There's nothing wrong in having money. Abraham was one of the wealthiest men on the planet. But Abraham didn't focus on money. He didn't focus on the earthly investment. The Bible says his focus was on a kingdom in heaven that was yet to come. And now he's enjoying that reward. By the way, these leaders of the faith that are long gone, they're enjoying their reward that they invested down here eternally right now. So what you're putting away right now for God is what you're going to have in the kingdom. And I will say this, I know we all inherit heaven. I realize it's going to be glorious. Even if you never did anything for God other than get saved, you have heaven, and that's a great reward. But there is going to be greater reward. What it's going to be like, I don't know. But the Bible says there is going to be greater reward for those who invest wisely while here in the kingdom of God. And that's what the Lord's going to talk about today. So let's jump into it. Notice what he says. He says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now again, what is he, right off the bat, he's saying, look, don't get too involved in all the riches down here. Notice the words lay up. It means to store up in abundance. It means to make that your focus. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to have all this, and I'm going to start putting it away now. There's, again, nothing wrong in being a wise investor. But if the focus is how I'm going to be rich, you're already going the wrong direction. Because again, as the Bible says, you know, money flies away. It's got wings. It's interesting. I was watching this eagle that, you know, that lands behind our house back there. I love to see him. He comes back there and lands, and we grab the binoculars and look at him and all this. But I mostly like to see him fly. I like to see him either fly in and land or fly away because he's so beautiful when he flies. And I'll watch him like for a long time going, when are you going to fly? And he doesn't fly. I'll be there 30 minutes, sometimes an hour he'll sit there. And I'll go back and forth kind of peeking and see if he's gone yet or whatever. And occasionally I get to see him leave, but most of the time I come back and he's already gone. And I was reading in the Proverbs just yesterday, it says money flies away like an eagle. And it really came to life for the first time in my life. It wasn't just like it flies away and goes a long way away. It was like, you know what? Sometimes you don't even know when it's gone. It's 1 minute there and then gone the next. And what happens if the market collapses tomorrow? What happens if the investments are gone? Are you going to be one of those that commit suicide because that was your life and that was your focus? Are you going to be one of those that says, you know what? Hey, I did the best I could while I was here, but I've been storing up in heaven, so nobody can take that. See, no market can drop and take what you've stored up in heaven. And while you've got the opportunity, and while I have the opportunity, we need to be storing it up in the kingdom. He says, don't lay it up for yourself down here. And notice he gives three examples where moth, rust, and thieves break in. Now, again, interesting the examples he uses. Moths dealt with their clothing. Why? Because that was a big deal back then. The moths would eat their clothing. All the clothing was handmade. So you couldn't go and buy a factory shirt or factory pants or factory shoes. They didn't have factories. They simply made everything by hand, which meant it was very, very valuable. Clothing was very expensive. And so most families did not have a lot of money to go buy a lot of clothing. So you would go and buy what you could when you could buy it, and you would protect it the best you could from the moths, because if they came in and ate it, it would ruin it, and it wasn't easy to run back out and buy something else to replace it. It wasn't like our situation today. Very different, so hard for us to understand. It's interesting, you know, this whole moth thing came to life. I know we have mothballs and we have things that keep them away, but I've never really had a big problem with moths. But one of my girls in their closet, for some reason, the moths get in there and they'll take a shirt out and all these little holes are eating all in it everywhere. And I'm thinking, that's exactly what the Lord was talking about in their day. You've got to protect it because the moths are going to eat it, but you don't want to be overly concerned about it, because what happens when the moth eats your favorite thing, right? And so now you got to go and get another one. If your focus is on that, you're not only heartbroken, but now again, you've got to go try to find something to replace it. And it was a big deal financially in that day. Well, the next thing was, he says, don't have your focus not only in all the clothing, but also in your possessions, physical possessions, things that rust. I speak mostly to the guys on this one. Things that rust. Nothing wrong in having things that rust. They can be a lot of fun. And actually today, with the three coatings of paint we have, things that rust last a lot longer, right? But at the same time, they still rust. At the same time, they're going to be gone one day. And if our whole focus is on that thing or those things, we're going to be very disappointed when they begin to tear up and wear out. And lastly, notice he makes the point, and also thieves break in and steal. How horrible to have those things you've laid aside and put all your hope in them, and then somebody comes and takes them away. You see, here's the difference in the earthly investment and the heavenly. Nobody can take it away. It's there forever, guys. Nobody can get it. And regardless of what they take down here, this isn't our focus. We are living down here as temporary missionaries on the earth for God, if you want to look at it that way, which is what we are, until we get to the kingdom of God. And no, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And so what you're going to have is what you invest right now till the day you die, and that's it as far as any additional investment. Invest wisely and think it through. And that's the point the Lord is making here. Notice where your heart needs to be, not on earthly things, but heavenly. He turns the corner here in verse 20. He says, however, he says, but, which is the same as don't lay up the treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Nobody can mess with your heavenly investment. There aren't any thieves in heaven. God's not going to let them in. And everything in heaven is going to be eternal. It will never rot. It will never wear out. So it's a wise investment. It's a smart investment. And again, notice here he says, again, you need to have your your treasures there in heaven as well. He says, for where the treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, this is interesting here when he talks about what our treasures are to be, because our treasures are to be focused on the things of the kingdom. And how do we get our heart in the right place? First of all, do the right thing and your heart will follow. That's his point. He didn't say where your heart is, your treasure will be, because we already know our heart oftentimes is after things of this world, isn't it? And what do? When you love somebody in this world, where does your money go? It goes in that thing, you know? I mean, it's amazing. I remember when I got, again, my first motorcycle. I'll use this as an example. But I get my motorcycle and you buy it and there's all these little gadgets that you want. Well, you already know if you start buying the gadgets, it's going to go out the roof as far as what you buy. It's overwhelming. But if I made that my focus, what happens if one day I make all these investments in that and it goes up in flames? Well, you've got insurance. Well, sometimes enough to redo what you want, sometimes maybe not. But the bottom line is, if I put my heart first, then I'm going to be putting treasure in things that I'm looking at down here. But if I turn my eyes to the things of heaven, where am I going to put my money? In the things of heaven. And that's the point he's making. You decide what is the important place you want to invest, and then what happens after that? Now you're going to begin to invest in those things. If missions is your heart, you're going to invest in missions. If kingdom is your heart, kingdom things, you're going to invest in the things of the kingdom. It just goes and stands to reason. But I love it because it doesn't say the heart leads, the treasure leads. Choose today. If you don't have a heart for the things of God and giving toward the things of God, make up your mind today, I'm going to change my heart. I'm going to put my treasure there. And as you put your treasure there, your heart's going to follow that. And God will be faithful to make sure that happens. And there's going to be great reward for that if you do that. Putting your treasure where it belongs and putting your heart where it belongs. And so now we see, again, the laying up treasures in heaven. You know, I'm going to give you another picture that popped in my mind this morning. And I don't know if you were ever a basketball player, but most of us know what a layup is. And it's interesting, as I was studying this morning, I thought, Lord, if every time I have an opportunity, I just lay up treasures in heaven, lay up treasures in heaven, lay up treasures in heaven, that's 2 points every time, so to speak. I mean, I'm building up the scoreboard in the kingdom. And every time that God gives us an opportunity to give, guys, we need to be laying it up. You know, God's the one that gives us the open lane. Take it and lay it up. And God says, there, I'm giving you a chance to give to that missionary. I'm giving you a chance to give to that. I'm giving you a chance to help out that person in need that you hear about, you know, and whatever the case might be. Use that opportunity. Lay up treasures in heaven and not on the earth. And he tells us why. Now he goes into what we allow to come into our body, the lamp of the eye. Look at verse 22. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. That's interesting. I started trying to picture in my mind what that would be like, the lamp of the body being the eye. And I picture my eyes just lighting up my body. That's how my brain works, right? And thinking, whatever comes in now, whatever I let come in by that light, that's what's going to fill my body up. Whatever I read, whatever I watch, whatever I talk about, everything I engage in that I let my eyes go on, it's the lamp of your body. It comes in to your body and lights you up. And notice this, if therefore your eye is good, and that means they're in the language single, that you're single-eyed on God, on the things of God, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Have you ever seen someone, maybe you've seen these mugshots of these mass murderers or these people that have done these horrible things, how dark their eyes look? You can see the darkness, the lamp of their body. The thing that shines from them is darkness. I can look at old pictures of me before I knew the Lord and pictures of me now knowing the Lord. I can see a difference in my countenance. I can see a difference in my eyes. And that's what the Lord is saying is, it is something that literally emanates from us. And this is interesting what he brings up here, because he not only talks about light coming out of us if our eye is good and we're letting in light, but he talks about darkness having light. Isn't that interesting? How can darkness have light? Of course, they didn't understand this in that day because science had not yet discovered this. But of course, the Lord knew about it because he's the creator. And now what we know, as science is catching up with the Bible, we now know that in darkness is what? Light. You ever seen the night goggles that the military wears? It's because there's light that our eyes can't pick up, that we can't see, but it's literally light of the darkness. And his point is simply this, even as we shine the light of the Lord, it's the lamp of our body into what lights us up and what emanates from us to those around us, giving them light for God, that same darkness can come out and shine on those around us if we allow darkness to fill us up. Have you ever been around someone that emanated darkness? I mean, you can feel it. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, make sure the light that you have in you is the light of God, and it's not the light of Satan or the light of the enemy that's working in your life, because it'll make you just as dark as my light will make you light. Make sure you have the proper light in your life. And again, it's interesting. He ties this in even to the eternal investing, because he goes now to talk about investing again in this next verse or two. But what's interesting to me about that is the Lord says we even need to use discretion and light when it comes to our eternal investments. Make sure we know what we're investing in and how we're investing. Now, again, sometimes I think we can be temporarily deceived, maybe temporarily tricked. But as soon as we find out, we need to readjust that and make an adjustment to it. And now the Lord goes back into talking about material things as pertaining to the spiritual things in our investing. Look at verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What a line the Lord draws here. Notice he's very radical in this. He says you can't blend serving God and material things. By the way, what is mammon? Mammon represented the material things of life. That's what the word meant to them in that day. The material things, whatever that might be. He's not saying you can't have material things and it be okay. He's saying you can't serve them. And if you're serving a material thing, what he's saying is it is now impossible to serve God. Guys, I challenge you this morning. Are you serving anything material in your life right now? Because if you're serving something material, even if you're a believer, God is saying, look, you may know me, but right now you're not serving me, because you cannot serve both. You've got to choose to serve me, or you've got to choose to serve the material world, one of the two. But if you choose me first, I'll give you what you need materially, and the rest will be taken care of. We're about to see that in the next section. But we've got to understand, he draws a very distinct line here. He doesn't say you can, that it's possible to do it a little bit. He says you're going to hate one or love the other, love one or hate the other. You're going to be loyal to one or you're going to despise the other. You've got to make up your mind. And I'll tell you, I found that to be true in my life, because if the material things are drawing you, you'll find out whenever you have to give that material thing up or maybe shift some things around for God, you're going to find out which one you're really serving, because that's the decision you're going to make at that moment. And if you choose the things of the world over the things of God, you realize, all right, I'm not serving God right now. I've got to serve the Lord. And that's why I encourage people when they're moving, always make sure if you're going to move or you're going to some new area and you believe that God is calling you, find a solid church first. Because you need to first seek the kingdom, as we're going to see in a moment, for God to be able to bless all the other things in your life. Otherwise, you're not going to have the blessing of the Lord on your life from that. So notice, you can't serve God and mammon, material goods. There's a real clear distinctive line now that he draws. Now he shifts gears from, that was the first segment, internal investment, how we invest, if you will, for what's going to last forever compared to the temporary. But now he goes into worry. And again, this is a huge issue for us today, as I mentioned earlier, because there are so many things we can worry about. How many of you by nature have a worrywart attitude? Again, a lot of us do in this room. You know, I've kind of had that worrywart thing. It's like, why is it? You know, why can't it just be a headache? Why does it have to be a brain tumor? I don't know. Why is it that it can't be an upset stomach and instead it's probably cancer? You know, why do I think that way? And then you go and you find, okay, it's not. I realize cancer's real, tumors are real, things really happen, I get that. But most of the time we worry about things that we need not worry about. And I think especially today we're worrying about what's going to happen with our nation, what's going to happen. All these are legitimate concerns, but we need to trust God and pray and realize that no matter what happens in this nation, God will take care of us. God has always been faithful to do that. I look back at when I first gave my life to the Lord and had very little of anything, but that was some of the happiest days of my life. And what God showed me during that time is, Mark, even with nothing, I can make you filled with joy. And so even if you lost everything again, can you still be filled with joy? Absolutely. I've been there. I've experienced it. And so now he goes into worry. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Now, again, let me pause there before I even go on. You say, that's easy to read, but how do I do it? You've got to take that to the Lord. If you're a worrywart, go to the Lord and memorize scripture that'll give you victory over it. Such as 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The scripture we're going to see here in just a moment, down here in verse 33, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. You begin to memorize these things. You begin to put them in your heart and in your mind, and God will give you victory over that. You actually pull your sword out, your sword of the spirit, if you will, which is the word of God, and you apply it. But he gives us the command here, which means it's possible to do by his spirit, and we need to take it to the Lord. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He said, we're so focused oftentimes about the bills and how we're going to supply and what's going to happen. He says, just focus on me. Keep your eyes on me. I'll take care of the rest of it. And I love this example he gives here, because I did this yesterday, and this is really cool. Look at this. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Notice what he says. He goes, look, the birds aren't concerned. The birds aren't worried. He says, look at them. It means in the language, examine them. Look closely at them. And I did this yesterday. I made a point. Okay, God, you said to do it. I'm going to go do it. So I went out there on the back deck, and I just for a while, spent a while just watching the birds. It was fascinating as God began to reveal things to me. The first thing I noticed is that the birds, in order to have their supply, they didn't just sit in the nest and wait. They got out and looked for their supply. So we would, there's a lot of principles here. We would say they went looking for work, right? They didn't just sit at home. They went looking for work. That was step number one. You can't find work if you don't look for it. So they went looking for work. The next thing, once they landed, they found it. All the seeds they wanted, all the worms, all the supplies. And I watched them all just walking around, just kind of having all their seeds, doing their thing. They're all over the backyard. And the third thing I noticed, not a single one of them looked worried. Looking for seeds or whatever. And they couldn't find it. No. They had this very relaxed, it's just his confidence. You know, I'm here. I'm being supplied for. I'm not even concerned about it. God says, listen, you're of way more value than they are. If I'm going to do that for them, you think I'm not going to do that for you? And the next thing that I'd never noticed before in relation to that, we all hear it, but it really just jumped out to me as God was ministering to me and just watching his creation. He's like, look at them. They're working. They're going for it. They're working. I'm supplying as they're doing it. They're not worried. They're not panicked. But how are they doing it? Lord, they're all singing. Yeah, that's right. They're all singing. And I listened to them. They're walking. I'm going, what a great example. Just singing at work and just enjoying the Lord. They weren't worried. They're rejoicing in the provision God was giving them. And it just reminded me again of the early days of really having nothing as an apartment with not even any furniture in it. And I would come home as a new believer and just try to go out and find work, come back, get my can of beans, put it in there, do whatever. And I remember walking around the apartment and I would just sing and I would eat and I'd sit on the floor. It was a wonderful time. He said, you remember that? I do that every day for the birds. You think I won't do that for you? I'll provide for you. I'll give you more than that. I'll give you more than just, you know, eating seeds, so to speak. I'll take care of you. But guys, we need to be those who sing and give thanks to the Lord and give praise to the Lord for what he's done. He's providing for us. Many of you are worried about whether or not you're going to have provision tomorrow. What he's saying is, look at the birds. They're not thinking about tomorrow. They're not going back going, okay, well, we found a lot today, but what about tomorrow? I tell you, it's getting rough out there. You know, did you see the mockingbirds that moved in next door? They're chasing our kids all over the place. They said, this is awful. We got to do something. No, they're just saying, God, I'm going to trust in you. And they're singing to the Lord. And all these sweet voices going up to God. And it's amazing. Creation is always praising God. Creation is always singing to God. We're his greatest creation. Should we not be praising God and singing to the Lord? And so the heart, I love the attitude that the birds have. He says, look at them. Just, are they worried? He says, are you not of more value than they? Now, again, in our environment today, oftentimes people tend to treat animals more valuable than people, don't they? There seems to be a greater concern about the animals than there are people. He says, but no, it's people that God is concerned about, guys. God loves the animals. The Bible says that the righteous love their animal. So righteous people take care of their animals. But here's what he's saying. My focus is not on the animals, although I love them. My focus is on you. I didn't die for the animals. I died for you. And if I take care of the animals who I didn't die for, and I love them, how much more am I going to provide for you? How many of you right now are worried about where the bills are going to come from tomorrow or whatever? Stop. Give it over to the Lord and say, God, I'm going to trust you. You got to leave the nest. You can't just sit in the nest and go, where are my bills going to come from? You got to go out and find work. But God says, if you do what I've asked you to do, I will provide and I'll give you, and have a right heart. I'll give you a heart of singing in the midst of it. Sing my provision. Sing the joy that God gives. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Notice this. When has worry ever profited any of us in this room? Any? Are you worried about that lizard walking across the front of the stage? Oh, boy, that's going to be great. Now, that's a great distraction. You know, it's like, just ignore him and all you girls that are afraid of lizards. I mean, this is what's called the flying venomi. They attack and they have these fangs and venom comes out. He'll stay on the stage. I'm not worried about him, so don't you guys freak out. But I had to mention it. So which of you is worried about the lizard crawling on the front of the sanctuary? Does God not know how to? No, I'm just kidding. He loves the animals. Let's get back to the word. Oh, boy. Anyway. But notice here, he says, what can worrying about that lizard or anything else, what can worry do? It does nothing, right? It does nothing. How many of you in this room can tell me right now, you know what? Worrying has really been a big bonus in my life. I found that with worry, I've gotten a lot done, and I just am generally overall more happy. No, you're miserable. You're miserable because you're worried about the bill. You're worried about tomorrow. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about this. You can't change it. Only God can. So you take that to the Lord and quit saying, Lord, I'm turning that over to you. I can't affect it. Worry doesn't do anything. Here's what worry does. It actually creates, your body begins to produce a very toxic situation when you worry. It starts to eat you up on the inside. You get sick if you worry too much. We know that now physiologically. So worry does have one benefit, sickness. But besides that, if you're worried today, you're causing yourself sickness and you cannot change anything. So let it go. Trust God and turn it over to the Lord. It doesn't do any good whatsoever. He says, so why do you worry about your clothing? He goes on. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one of these. And if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, they would use it to start their fires with. He said, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? He's saying, you need to trust me. Look at this. Solomon was the wealthiest king that ever lived. He no doubt wore the most glorious robes and clothing that we would have ever seen because they were all handmade by the richest, wisest man on the planet. Imagine what he would have looked like in great pomp and circumstance. He says, that's nothing compared to the grass. It's nothing compared to the lilies. Listen, at that time, they didn't have electron microscopes. They couldn't see the lilies. They couldn't see the grass up close. But we now have the ability to see it. And when you look at these things up close under magnification, they are truly amazing. I want you to see a picture of just a blade of grass under an electron microscope. Look at this. Is that amazing? And look how happy they are. Ha-ha! We love being grass. Praise the Lord. Ha-ha! Isn't that great? Listen, that's just, this is built into creation is the glory and praise of God. It's built in everywhere. He says, if you could just see what you're missing, now we have the ability to see a little bit of it, but we're worried. God, you make all the grass dance and sing in there, and the birds are all, I mean, they're not worried. And I'm going, oh my goodness, oh, this is due, and I've got that. He's like, okay, I care more about grass and birds than I do you, Mark, right? But aren't we like that? It's the battle we all struggle with. We have to learn to rest and take a deep breath. Smile like the grass, sing like the birds, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Don't box, I'm just kidding. It just kind of was there. But either way, he says, don't worry about this. God's going to take care of it. God's going to do it. Therefore, look at verse 31. Because of all this that I've said, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Gentiles means in reference to the unbeliever. They're worried about all this because they don't have any hope beyond this. They don't have outside help. We do. Listen, by the way, if something happens where suddenly the market drops and there's famine and all these things take place, I believe with all my heart God's going to take care of those that trust him. We see it all through scripture. We see it all through history, which means I don't have to worry about what if everything collapses? What if we don't have any gasoline? What if there isn't any food? What if there aren't any this or that? Whatever. Look, God's going to provide what we need. And I believe you're going to see the body of Christ come together and love each other like never before if that ever happens. Because we're going to learn what giving and sharing means, and we're going to watch God be faithful to provide for those who love him and trust him. That's the God we serve. And so he says, you know what? Don't be like the Gentiles. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's not shocked. He knows we need them. No surprise to him. He created us with these needs. Here's the verse. And by the way, if you're a worrier, this is the verse I want you to memorize. Here's your prescription today. I'm writing you a spiritual prescription. If you're a worrier, memorize this and quote it every day until you stop worrying. Notice this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, that is supply for life we've been talking about, will be added. By the way, that is a promise of God. God can't break his promises, nor will he, because then someone will say, oh Lord, you weren't able. Oh Lord, your word failed. Impossible. But let me also add this caveat. It's conditional. It's conditional. What he's saying is, look, you want this to be something that I'm going to answer? Then you've got to do what? You've got to put me first. Here's the big question. Is God first this morning? Yes. Is he first? Really? Because if he's not, you can't claim this promise. But if he's first, you can. I have people that come up oftentimes after service, and rightly so, asking for prayer about their financial needs or whatever. There's nothing wrong in that. Don't be afraid to come up. I can't ask Pastor Mark for that. Because he says, no, he's not saying we're not to pray and ask for our needs and to make our needs known. He wants us to pray. He says, make your needs known. You have not because you ask not. There's a big part of this, but it goes with faith hand in hand. And let's say, you know, I'm worried about this, and what do I do about this? How are we going to meet these needs and pray? I said, are you seeking first the kingdom? Because that's the key. Because if you seek first the kingdom, there's an eternal promise that can't be denied, and it will not be denied. You seek first the kingdom. It may not be Cadillacs and mansions, but God will supply your need because he's promised. But you've got to seek first. And if you're not seeking the Lord first this morning, it's time to rearrange your heart. It's time to say, all right, Lord, I need you to work in my heart. I need you to work in my life and rearrange what my focus is so that I'm putting you first. Because when I do that, I know that I'm going to have what I need. He says, this is going to happen, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Have you noticed that most of our worries are always about something down the road? But what are you worried about this morning? Think about it. It's probably not today, is it? We always worry about tomorrow. We always worry about a few months from now. We worry about a few years from now. He says, stop. Stop. I'm providing for you today. I brought you here. I gave you gasoline. I gave you a ride. I did whatever. You ate something. If you didn't, you're probably thinking, how long is this guy going to go? But for those of you that ate, you're not worried about that and you're focused, right? He's provided. Trust him. He's not going to stop now. God is going to provide. He says, there's enough to worry about today. Isn't that true? Isn't there enough to worry about today? There's enough to worry about today. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. So here's as we finish today. Here's what we're going to do. Listen, let's give all of our worry over to the Lord. Let's turn it over to him. Let's give our worry over and say, God, I'm not going to worry about it. And then let's look, what about our eternal investments? How are we living our life? We only have so many years left. Are we investing in the kingdom of God? Remember, all-encompassing viewpoint when I say that. Because so many people make a big deal about finances. That's part of it, but that's not what the focus. It's your life as a whole. Are you investing in the Lord and in the kingdom? And we want to pray for God to help us not to worry, to take our worry, and to show us where and how we can invest in the kingdom. And if our treasure is in a place it shouldn't be, then let's start putting it where we know it should be, even if our heart isn't there, because he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, and your heart will fall in line. Let's ask God to do that for us this morning. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again for your faithfulness this morning. I want to thank you for the great things you've taught us, Lord, helping us to focus on the eternal investments and not the temporary investments. God, temporary is passing away quickly. Eternal is just that. It's eternal. So help us, Lord, to focus on what we have left, the life we have left, the time we have left, to make eternal investments that we know are going to be continual rewards as we lay them up in heaven rather than trying to lay them up on earth. And Lord, for those of us in here that are consumed by worry, there will always be things we can be worried about. And there are always things to worry about in life. Lord, let us lay the worry down and rest. They're just like the birds, being supplied and singing the whole time. Or just like the grass, arrayed in beauty that we'd never even be able to see were it not for modern technology. And to see, Lord, even the glory of how you've clothed the grass. Lord, none of us have any type of clothing like that this morning. It's literally a part of their very being. So God, we know that if you did that for them, you'll do so much more for us. Lord, we lay our worry down. We choose to put our trust in you. And Lord, we now choose to put our treasure in the things of the kingdom. We'll let you work out the rest. You said if we seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added. And so, Father, we now take you at your word. Let those things be added. And lastly, Lord, if there's anyone in here that doesn't know you, that has never given their life, I pray that right now that you begin to soften their heart and open their eyes. And if that's you this morning and your eyes have been opened by the Lord, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, I recognize that I need a Savior. And I confess to you that I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe you died for my sins, and I ask you now to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I turn from my sins, and I choose now to follow you. Father, thank you for the work of your Spirit in ministering to us as believers in worry and reminding us of where our investment should be. But thank you, God, most of all, for any who gave their life to you this morning. Father, we give you all the praise and glory and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.